The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor and read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan over a damn holiday.
Hello, my name is Christy Matthews, here with Linda Kent and Cameron Walfort. Welcome to Tokens Radio Show, your place on the dial where we report on the adoption of cryptocurrencies and other forms of digital assets. Feel free to call the show at 530-605-4567. Or drop a comment in the chat room at KCNR1460.com to join the conversation. And you can find us on Telegram at t.me/tokensradioshow. Well, guys, we have an exciting show in store for you today. First, we're going to talk a little bit about the Shasta Bitcoin Retreat and Summit. Wow, that's shaping up to be one of a kind of event for the North State, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's for sure. We're getting there.
Yes, we are. And Cameron's going to be reporting on how Bitcoin differs from traditional assets in terms of property and ownership. And when we return from the break, we're going to be talking with the one and the only Divvy Daddy, Mr. Patrick Hackham. We're going to be talking about masternodes, crypto mining, and who knows where the conversation's going to go from there. So stay tuned. And now here's a word from one of our sponsors.
If you're using a centralized exchange for tracking and trading your crypto, then you're doing it wrong. Not only do centralized exchanges implement extensive fees on your trades, but they also restrict you to tokens they've independently approved. Break free from the chains at Phantom Financial, where you can track, trade the hottest tokens on the Phantom network. Visit Phantom with an F dot financial for more details. That's phantom.financial.
All right. Well, like Christy said earlier, we're going to talk a little bit about Shasta Bitcoin Retreat and Summit that we got coming in March on the 18th and 19th. I know that we are starting to get a great array of panelists. I think we're up to about 16 panelists for this.
It's going to be maxed out at 16, so just about there.
And what's really exciting about them is they're experts in every field of this entirely new industry, like 16 in the crypto industry. I mean, we have DeFi experts, experts in the metaverse. We have, everyone that can just provide those basic tips for spending and earning Bitcoin or a variety of different tokens. Mm-hmm. Any of the questions that you may have in the field, this is definitely the place to be. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, also there are people that will show you actual applications that you can use in your daily life, like to buy gasoline, airline tickets, you know, things like that. You know, people go, well, how can I buy anything or do anything? I don't understand. And they're going to show you how you can put it into your everyday life and make it work for you.
In fact, the gentleman that Linda's referring to, his name is Rodrigo, and he's going to be on our show here in the next few weeks. But he's been to Latin America several times, mm-hmm. and he works with one of the other crypto foundations, which I'm not going to name right at this point. But what he does is that he starts here in the United States, buys his airline tickets, and starts his entire trip all on cryptos, whether he's buying gasoline, groceries, whatever the case is. His entire trip from beginning to end is done with cryptocurrencies. It's really amazing. And he does video documentation of everything he's done.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, his videos are actually really cool.
It's really fun to see that this is, I mean, obviously we in the industry know that it's not just some little digital fun thing to trade around and try to make a quick buck on, but we're now really seeing the real world application come to life. And that's a remarkable opportunity at the retreat and summit, I think, is you'll be able to engage with some of the upcoming technology, learn about it and see where it actually fits in your life. So,
one of those experts are going to be that will be on the panel will be here this afternoon. So later on in the break, you'll be hearing from one of them.
I'd argue two of them will be here.
Pardon me. Yes, you're absolutely right. So, you know, you're probably wondering, how do you get tickets for this? Well, there's a couple of ways. You can go to ShastaBitcoinSummit.com, and that site, of course, you can buy tickets at 2 o'clock in the morning if you like. Or if you want to buy tickets in person, go between 10 and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday at 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B up in Redding. So either way, a couple ways to get tickets, and there might be some other runners coming through town that might be able to help us out here with us here soon.
Right, and there will be some tickets that we will donate. There will be donated tickets. Those will go to, you know, like the first responders, the military, senior citizens, and high school seniors as well. So it's kind of a first-come, first-serve basis on that, you know, and you can also buy tables if you'd like.
Or even donate tickets to make sure that...
Because otherwise, if you don't donate the tickets, then they're not going to be able to be given away to those groups of people, which we really want to honor.
And you can also sponsor.
Of course you
can sponsor.
Yes.
And at all different levels. So it's not like... one price fits all. You know, it depends on your situation and what you got going on and what you want to do and exposure and things like that. So,
and what if you want to bring a group of people? You know, one of the best value buys is to reserve the entire table. You end up with 8 tickets for the cost of 7. I mean, how can you beat that?
And good food.
Very good food, yes.
And then just out of curiosity, is there a way to get the retreat with a table? Could you get a 2-day table pass, so to speak?
Well, the retreat is interesting, and I'm glad you brought that up, because the way the retreat location is, if anybody has been out to the caverns, you know, they have a dining facility there in the back of the building. So the way that this is going to be done is that everybody will be sitting in kind of like a picnic table area.
Right.
So it's not going to be reserved dining like there can be at the Wind River Resort.
I more meant for clarification. If people were interested, could they get the table pass for their whole group to go to the retreat as well, so that they get that 7 or 8 for the price of 7 on the 2-day pass?
Oh, that has not been. If that's something you want,
we'll have to
just call.
Yeah.
Call 530-324-5175, and we will work that out.
Yeah, there's always a way to work a deal, you know, for people out there.
Didn't mean to put you out on the spot at all, but this is a very exciting retreat opportunity with everything we have going on day one. So.
No, that was a great question. That was something that we never really thought about, I guess. But like Christy said, and you know, we can always work some kind of deal or figure out something for everybody, because we want everybody to be involved and be able to do everything that they want to do with this 2-day event. Yeah. So we don't want to make exclusions, so to speak, right off the top, you know?
So I'm really excited about the retreat, though. I'm excited to be one of the panelists involved, and then during my free time, I'm really excited to hear what everyone else has to say and go check out the XP reality setup. I think that's going to be one of my favorite.
I'm looking forward to that.
I mean, everyone should be.
Yeah, and it looks as though we're probably going to have to have people sign up for that so that they don't stand in line all day to get their turn and miss the event.
Right. Okay, so again, tickets are available online at ShastaBitcoinSummit.com, or you can stop by my office at 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California. And between 10 and 4, usually at this time of year, I'm kind of in and out, but I will be there with tickets. And if you need to, I can always meet you somewhere to get some tickets to you. And so with that, Cameron's got something he would like to give us information on.
Yeah, so just in regards to Bitcoin, We've been talking a lot about it and where it differs from traditional assets. So let's just take a quick dive into traditional assets, property, and ownership, if you guys don't mind. So traditionally, property is defined as that which a person owns or the possession or possessions of a particular owner. And in general, property can be possessed or transferred and, in general, is susceptible to theft or loss. Ownership is defined as the legal right of possession or proprietorship. In general, ownership over your property is protected and enforced through a combination of trust, contracts, and a binding legal entity to ensure its safekeeping, but this is not a perfect system as we know. Cash can be lost or destroyed, homes can burn, cars can be totaled, shares in companies could cease to exist, and even gold can be taken. And all of that can be taken by banks and governments against your will. But what if you had property an army couldn't take? That's where Bitcoin comes in. It's unseizable property. Your ownership of Bitcoin does not rely on any laws or law enforcement agency. Bitcoin has built-in technology that makes it impossible for anyone to take from you without your consent. Even law enforcement agencies can't seize it. This is an unprecedented form of ownership. By this, we mean that Bitcoin is not just unseizable, but completely portable. You can send it to anyone in the world. You can take it with you anywhere in the world. You can go across any border without having to carry your Bitcoin with you and retrieve it for spending wherever you are. Whenever you want, so long as you have access to your Web3 device. Sorry about that. Bitcoin is essentially indestructible property. This is because all Bitcoins themselves exist in tens of thousands of locations digitally all over the world. But the right to spend them is granted only to a person in possession of the unique private key string to a given wallet. Finally, as a result of how Bitcoins come into existence, the number of Bitcoin in circulation is perfectly knowable and finite at any time. And it is also certain that there will never be more than 21 million Bitcoins. The supply is knowable, certain, provably scarce, and impossible to counterfeit. While scarcity is not independently unique, indestructibility, unseizability, easy verification for authenticity, and infinite portability make Bitcoin truly remarkable. Bitcoin scarcity and ease of authentication combined with its widespread adoption and portability also make it well-suited to be used as currency for the storing and transferring of value as a trustless collateral. Owning this unique form of property comes with two special responsibilities. First, if you lose your private key, then it is gone for good, so make hard copies and store them safely. Second, Bitcoin transactions settle with irreversible finality. So if anyone gets a hold of your private key, once your tokens are gone, they're gone for good, so be careful. Holding Bitcoin directly facilitates trustless ownership at the expense of independent accountability. Alternatively, you could store it with a central exchange or allow partial custody over your wallet, allowing you or your loved ones access to your Bitcoin should you lose access to your predetermined conditions are met. In conclusion, Bitcoin is an unprecedented form of property that is truly unique, powerful, and requires mindful practice unlike any form of property in history. Use wisely and enjoy responsibly.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing that with us. I know there were some clarifications on some different things within that you went over that helped me to understand why Bitcoin is better than fiat currency. I mean, we know that, but you know what I mean? Certain aspects of it to make it more secure, I guess maybe is a better term. And so with that, I guess we need to go to a break. And then when we come back, we still have a minute. So, okay. I'll talk some more about his article. You know, I think it was great, you know. I like the part about it being indestructible.
Yep.
Blah, I can say it.
Especially with all the fires that we've had. Can you imagine going through that tragedy and you had some Bitcoin, but you were able to get your seed phrases and was able to get to another computer, log into a wallet, you take your seed phrases and access that. Doesn't matter of course it matters that you've had your possessions destroyed by such a tragic outcome, but your Bitcoins would be safe. As long as you have your recovery seed phrases.
Right. And you don't have to have a lot of area to transport.
Right.
You know, when you stop and think, when you talk about the fires, all of us have had to get ready to evacuate if you haven't evacuated, and trying to get everything in your car that you want to take, you run out of space really quick. You know what I mean? So, all right. I guess now we'll go to a break. And when we come back, we will have, we'll be talking with Patrick Heckam of Divvy Daddy. And it's going to be very interesting. A lot of good information will be coming your way. So stay tuned. If you want to call in, you can give us a call at 530-605-4567. You've been listening to KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Check it out, it's on discount. Market's down, time to open up a new account. Buy low, then hold, that's what I'm about. Crypto, baby, I'm talking about that new clout. Quick trades getting placed on the Coinbase. Needless to say, I'm in it for the long game. Straight lace, but them haters wanna throw shade. Let them hate while we floss on the blockchain. Sold Dash, then I picked up Monero. No cash, just crypto dinero. All coins, baby, you gotta be careful. Buy low, then let's hope it goes airborne.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's Bitcoin 530.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Battle Creek Bridge crosses Battle Creek on Jellies Ferry Road. The north side of the bridge is in Shasta County and the south side is in Tehama County. It was built in 1911, is 152 feet long, and was engineered by Robert L. Reading, son of Major Reading. In 1984, a new bridge was built on its east side because it was too narrow, load-limited, and posted for less than current legal loads. The old bridge was left in place and today is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
Hey, taste on how I break this Bitcoin slang down. Check it, a Bitcoin is a currency. Blockchain is technology. Transactions take place on it constantly. A public key is your address. Private key is your asset. Cash is trash, but a Bitcoin is the asset. And stacking stats is like accumulating gold. I market all the sold, the hodl is the hold.
confirmation is that the transaction is back.
Welcome back. NFTs, what are they and what impact will they have on the world? The expert panelists at the Shasta Bitcoin Retreat and Summit have the answers to help you gain a deeper understanding of this digital asset class and much, much more. Tickets are on sale now. Visit ShastaBitcoinSummit.com for current event details and ticketing information. So let's bring on our guest, Patrick Hackham. Patrick is a masternode service provider with deep experience in systems and structure. In 2015, he started building a zero-cooling mining facility and was afforded many opportunities to learn with early blockchain pioneers. He migrated from mining to masternodes to take advantage of what they had to offer. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, would you tell our listeners what a masternode is and what is its purpose?
So a masternode, let's start with some assumptions first, that your users know what Bitcoin is and how it's mined,
right,
using machines. So a masternode, what it does is it kind of performs the same type of algorithmic work, but it does it with what's called a proof-of-stake mechanism versus a proof-of-work, which means you don't have to have a machine sitting at home mining Bitcoin. You have the ability to interact in a network level and support a different type of blockchain, which some of them are called master nodes, some of them are called guardian nodes, some of them are just called nodes or staking vaults. But at the end of the day, when people use these words, they're really looking for the idea of you have an asset that is producing you more of that asset.
Mm-hmm. Yes, from personal experience, I can say that's true. It's very nice.
Well, yeah.
Yes, it's very nice to have. You get a reward. You support the network, and you gain a reward. And, of course, I'm going to let you go ahead and go farther with
really
how that is done.
Equal, right? Yeah, they're not all created equal.
Correct.
For example, my name is Patrick Hakim, but a lot of people know me by my stage name, I call it, which is Divvy Daddy,
right,
a name given to me by my children. And the reason why they called me that is because we started out mining Bitcoin. I mean, my children at the ages of 3 and 5 years old were coming in and cleaning the machines in the warehouse with me, and they were getting paid in Bitcoin as much as the IRS would allow me to claim for children. So I would pay my children to help me clean these machines. And then when they realized I stopped mining Bitcoin, they kept asking why. I said, because Divvy, honey, Divvy. And they called me Divvy Daddy one day. And Divvy is a project that I really like because it allowed me to get out of, for example, my rental properties, valuing that asset class. And it helped me integrate it with another thing that I really love, which is mining crypto, because I believe in the value. I believe in, you know, what comes with crypto and the freedom mindset that comes with crypto. So for me, it was a really simple transition to find out that this Divvy masternode can produce you 30%, 35% a year. Or you can get into other types of projects. Well, you know, you can stake Cardano, you can stake Matic, you can stake Persistence and get, 35%?
Mm-hmm.
You can stake Theta and Theta Fuel. There are a lot of great projects that can earn you passive income, quote-unquote passive, but it's not really passive income. You're just getting rewarded for the work you're doing.
You know, I'm glad that you started off with that, because here locally, what we have been doing is trying to get the eyes and ears of our local leaders and help them gain an understanding of how crypto works and the possibility to see the possibility of being able to fund our communities in a different fashion than trying to clamor for grant funds that are distributed to just such a small group of counties. So having said that, what advantage do cities and counties have by creating or mining their own coin?
Oh, man. I mean,
sorry for the rabbit hole question.
So much that goes into, mining your own coin. But you can use existing networks. For example, your city can invest in a portfolio, and that portfolio might have several different great income-producing assets. and that might be a strategy for a city. But to me, at the end of the day, I made a post about a year ago, and I actually showed up on my feed again, and I reposted it again. My advice still rings true today to most people. If your financial advisor or your CPA or your attorney has not told you about crypto yet, you should fire them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just flat out. And at this point, I think we should give our leaders some grace, because this is new tech, and it's our responsibility to share what this new tech can do with them. So I would let them know that there's a lot more opportunity for liquidity, earning potential, and reducing costs all over for your infrastructure. So at the end of the day, you give the city an asset that grows in value. For example, a lot of cities pay, they require so many taxes. And especially the taxes, they end up getting fed down through all the businesses. The taxes end up going to these businesses, whether it's a hotel or road or whatever it may be. But one of the things that you can do to reduce your overhead for your community is by being a responsible steward, which I'm calling it out, saying that if you're not doing it, then you are not being a responsible steward of your community's finances. Because if you are, there's no reason that the assets that you guys have, that you're holding, that you're responsible for, that you guys are stewards of, should not be growing. Get out of the business of renting out properties and taxing properties, and get in the business of helping your community to thrive.
Exactly. Yeah. Couldn't agree with that more. So, you know, how would it, there's a couple things that come to mind. We live on the Sacramento River, and we have that big, beautiful Lake Shasta right here with one of the largest dams in the country. So a couple of our communities here generate their own electricity. Would it be kind of a no-brainer to maybe set up a mining rig and start mining some cryptocurrencies? And that would be available to for use in the community. You know, what are some thoughts on that?
Wow, what I heard there was, if they can set up the infrastructure and generate free power, is it worth it to mine Bitcoin?
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Because the problem with most people's plan when they decide to mine Bitcoin, and it doesn't even matter what stage of it they're at, I only need to ask two questions to determine whether or not you're going to be successful as a miner. First question is, what is the cost of power?
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying over 3 cents a kilowatt hour for the cost of power, I can guarantee you, you will not survive.
Okay.
So don't even talk to anyone who says anything about mining at home in their garage for 13 cents a kilowatt hour or 7.
Okay.
It's just not going to pencil out. But if you got free power, then at the end of the day, you're free mining. All you're paying back now, you just need to pay off the cost of buying the rig. And that can be kind of expensive, too. That will require some, you know, upfront cost. But if you're a smaller mom-and-pop type shop, and it all depends on how much power, which is the question number two, how much power are you generating right now?
Mm-hmm.
How much power is at the building that you want to mine at? Well, there's no power there yet. Well, then don't talk about it.
Right.
Unless you know how much power output you're going to have, I can't tell you how many machines I can put there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if there's no power at the building and you still need to pay $250,000 to get an electrician to wire up another half megawatt, it's not very cost efficient. You might as well invest in Bitcoin and just buy the coin and hold it.
Makes sense.
But if you have free power, it changes the equation.
It sure does, doesn't it? It just kind of makes sense when these communities are generating their own electricity. It would seem to be at the forefront of where the water flows. Then they can set up the mining rig. I mean, the infrastructure is there. So
it's actually a little more simple than that, too, though, even more than just mining. I grew up coming to Lake Shasta every summer. Every summer I spent at least 2 weeks in Jones Valley Marina, and I went and got the Titan, and we were going out there playing around with our boats. And if you told me that I can go out there and rent the Titan with crypto, and they're going to charge me at the end for the gas and everything else with crypto. And there are businesses around that will be crypto-friendly, and you can stay at lodging nearby that's crypto-friendly, and the restaurants there take crypto. I'll throw my next event in Shasta, and everyone I know will come and be in Shasta because it'll be so much fun for all of us to be able to contribute to that ecosystem. Many of us who hold crypto not just because we want to make money. It's a really great way to make money. It protects you from the government's BS inflation and the bank's rigged system. But that's not the topic for discussion today. But what we can tell you is crypto is not just enabling people to be wealthy and become their own banks, where they don't need to take out a loan anymore, where a credit score doesn't matter. But we're ready to share this like new world with people, where we share the money, the wealth. None of us have a problem going and spending some crypto to get on a boat together with our friends. And maybe we'll even rent all their houseboats in one weekend.
That would make a lot of marina owners very happy.
Oh, yeah. I used to come down there with my church group. We used to go during Mother's Day weekend. And we started going because when I went to college there, I told them, why don't we just go to Jones Valley and rent a bunch of houseboats? I would go there every summer. It's so awesome. Everyone wants to go to Jones Valley and stay out on Shasta Lake.
It makes me think about one of the early network marketing organizations that would also rent a huge entourage of houseboats, and you'd see them out on Lake Shasta and they're having their retreat.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
And you know what most of us church people do as well on our way out?
What's that?
Stop by the liquor store because it's cheaper.
Yes.
So if that place takes crypto too, you know, hey, let's go buy all the liquor with crypto. You cannot stop it. It is coming. The people who win are the people who are early. And if the city has the ability to help the community get started faster, they're just going to win together. But it's not about making money. It's just about knowing that this is what the people want. And we don't want the garbage dollars anymore.
So if I could just backtrack with you just a tad, because I got to finally check out your guys' platform last night and do a little deep dive into the white paper. And then I ended up downloading the Divi wallet. I did see that you guys had different tiered staking requirements or can you go into what the philosophy is behind having those different tiers and what the benefit is for maybe getting a higher ranked masternode versus staking half of your Divi as a low ranking masternode and then just staking the rest out in liquidity or any alternative staking methods? I'm sorry.
I love your question in so many ways. So let's start with the first thing. I don't own Divi. I own Divi as the token, but I'm not in any way related to the team or the project. They just allow me to call myself Divi Daddy. I did ask their permission. But other than that, I don't really do anything with Divi. So I am not the project, but I can talk to you about everything about you just asked. So addressing the first one, which is Divi went, we got a patent on what's called Mochi. It's the Masternode one-click cloud installer. That cloud installing process allows you to deploy Masternodes that individually will sustain the network and the blockchain. So when you decide to run a copper node for 100,000 Divi, which today is about, let's call it $7,000, you get rewarded a certain number of Divi rewards based on an algorithm where every block, if you read the white paper, it gets separated. So 38% of it goes into staking pools, and the other 45 goes towards masternodes, some go to the treasury. So the way it works is you're rewarded for having more staked in the infrastructure of masternodes, because the more you have staked, higher interest you're going to make because you're confirming more. When you have a staking platform, if your Divi is staking, it's basically a mathematical algorithm. It's basically, again, talking about if there's 100 Divi being split up, 38 of those Divi are going to go to the people in staking. So if you're one of that 38%, you're going to get a staking reward. The second question you asked was, why would you want to stake or versus a masternode? today, the math says dismantle your master node, put it all in staking, because it's more profitable in staking.
So we have to go to break in just a moment here, but I do have a couple more questions on if we could dig in on that when we come back, if you'll still be around.
Oh, he'll be here.
Okay. Yeah, awesome.
We're not letting you go.
I haven't had a chance to talk to him. This is Linda Patrick. So we're going to go to break, and then when we come back, we'll pick up this conversation. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back. We still have Patrick with us from Divvy Daddy, and we've been talking about master nodes and staking and everything. And I think Cameron still had a few questions that he wanted to ask you before we move along. So go ahead, Cameron.
All righty. So just a few quick questions for those who are interested in staking with Divvy.
Wait. I'm going to stop you right here real quick. You know that you guys had Bitcoin 530 sitting as one of your guys' sponsors in here. You know, they offer 15-minute free consultation. And if we don't get to a question today that your listeners want answered, they can go there for 15 minutes and talk to someone for free. So I just want to remind you guys of that. I don't actually know exactly who the owner is, but I know the people behind it can reach out to me, even if they have questions that they can't answer. So I just want to remind people of that. There are resources that you guys have to get your questions answered.
You're awesome. Thank you.
Yes.
We appreciate the reminder.
Yes. And then, so a quick question on this is with Divi, and I know that you're not officially affiliated, but if I wanted to bring Bitcoin over and I didn't want to go through a central exchange, is there a roundabout way that you know of, such as bridging or anything like that, that I could get there and partake in the master, partake as a master node, or what's the best way to get there?
So, at the end of the day, what you're really asking is, how do I buy Divi?
Yeah, or acquire.
Yeah, how do you get Divi? So you can get Divi a few different ways. There are, like, private Telegram channels you can go through that are set up. One of them I know is associated with Bitcoin Ben, and the guy running it, Jim Flanagan, is he's a solid, all, you know, he's just an honest dude. He's not going to, like, steal your money. Mm-hmm. So you can always go there, and he'll help you out. There are other places that you can go, like you can learn how to do it on KuCoin or BitRue yourself, and you'd go in there and do it with a swap. So you'd maybe take in Bitcoin, swap that Bitcoin for USD Tether, and then buy Divi with USD Tether, and then basically send it out to that Divi wallet that you just downloaded earlier today. So it's really, really simple to buy it that way. If you just have, let's say you're, most of my clients, for example, they're in the position where they have like a house or two rental properties. And I mean, the idea is, why would you want to have a rental property at all? I don't know any landlord that can actually listen to me and not agree with me at the end that having a rental property doesn't make any sense when you can put your money into the Divi nodes, for example, or Divi staking vault. And if you have a $500,000 home, you can buy $500,000 worth of Divi, and that's going to make you so much money every single month. It's going to make you at least three times what you're making every month, if not more. And then you have no tenants to deal with, no insurance, no taxes, no repairs, no hassle. No one's going to call you. It just works. And no one to argue with you. The money comes in. You don't even have to worry about the rent coming in. So why would you possibly go with that? So then the next question is, those clients go to Viva because we get a lot of Divi and we can do high volume. So Viva is an over-the-counter party partner with the Divi Project, which is a company that I'm affiliated with.
Yeah, and they're good people, too. You know, and if you don't mind me just pausing right there for a moment, just made me think about something that you helped some friends of ours out in Lodi, who has a family member who is running a Haiti mission. And you helped them set up a masternode. And just piggybacking on what you're talking about on how to make greater returns, can you explain how the masternode is helping the Haiti mission serve the children that they're taking care of?
You know, I'd like to remind us that, like, Divi masternode is not what is helping the people in Haiti. The thing that's helping the people in Haiti were the community members, mm-hmm. who were happy to support Derwin and Jennifer and the Logans and what they were doing with that mission work in Haiti. So knowing, you know, the structure that was there, right, all I'm suggesting to them is what I suggested to you and everyone else earlier. Why put your money in the dollar? If we're going to give them some money to help them build the orphanage, why not donate it in a way that continually gives to them every month? And we'll tell them, hey, consider this as a monthly gift. Don't touch the initial amount. Every month you'll get this to spend. And as soon as you shared that topic, the community rallied around that whole idea that they had so much Divi and there's so much staking that they were able to buy the land next door. They were able to grow. They were able to take in more children. They were able to build a roof on their house. So all because like-minded people wanted to come alongside them. It's not Divi that did it. Divi was just a mechanism that we operate within as a group. We have a crypto mindset that allows us to understand it's more powerful than the garbage dollars that we can give them.
Yeah.
So So what we gave them wasn't just money. We gave them a strategy to keep winning.
So this is Linda and Patrick. So what I'm hearing is you don't have to have a certain amount to get started or to get involved, or there's not a set amount in order to be part of it. Is that correct?
That is correct. So within the Divi structure, you have a desktop wallet. Excuse me. In that desktop wallet, you're allowed to stake a minimum of 10,000 Divi. Within the mobile wallet, I believe you can stake up to 50,000 Divi for free as well. But I recommend the desktop version for now because it is free to stake, and it's an independent device of what you're using every day just for security reasons. So either way is fine, but getting into Divi doesn't require any specific investment amount. You can start with as little as you're comfortable with to make yourself feel comfortable until you do. And then when you're ready, eventually you'll all end up there. You don't have a choice. You're just fooling yourself. Any listener here who thinks they're not going to get involved in crypto, they're just fooling themselves.
Yeah. But that makes you a part of the system that you're talking about, which I find very fascinating, that more of a collective, for lack of a better term, you can be involved in the projects and be able to have the vehicle to advance yourself in small steps.
So what I personally like about crypto is, at least on my side, is it's this new version of capitalism where we're not worrying about the corporation's bottom line and we're not just trying to please the customer, because in general the customers are the owners of all these different cryptos or organizations and everything. And I really like the opportunity that projects like Divi and, I mean, Bitcoin and just decentralization in general is built around that idea that everyone can participate.
Yeah.
And it's free from those barriers. So I'm really excited to talk to you.
That everyone can participate. It's completely available for everyone to view, 100% transparent, and you cannot change it.
Right. That's nice.
What happened, and it doesn't change for anyone in the world.
Yeah, it doesn't have, you know, it can't look at you and go, yeah, you're worth this much, or you're worth that much, or you're this or you're that. It's the same.
The dollar is garbage. It's better than the dollar. You know what's
right
there. You know how
right
much of
right
it is there. You know what the supply is.
Right.
And no transaction disputes either.
Right.
No. If I send it to you and send you a test and you say, yeah, I got it. Well, how much should I send you? 12 Divi. Great. That's your address? Yes, it is. I've confirmed it now, so if I say I sent it to you and you received it on your end, the whole world can take that to court. The blockchain is legal record.
Yes.
It is immutable. You can take that to the bank.
Yes, yes, indeed. Hey, Patrick, we only have a couple minutes left here, and I wanted to maybe take you in a little different direction and get your opinion on this. We've heard quite a bit about the city coin and the city of Miami. That's been reported that the property tax revenues were X amount, but with the adoption of the city coin, that the revenues have grown way beyond what their property tax revenues are providing them. What's your thoughts about the city coin, and is that a solution you would recommend for communities like ours, like we were talking about a little bit earlier?
I guess the way I would think about it is a city coin, inherently what you're getting is a mixed basket, kind of like what they're trying to do with the dollar. There's a mixed basket behind the dollar as well, if you really talk about it. But what we're talking for the perspective of the city, what they'd end up doing is owning different projects. They wouldn't really, I mean, it could be a collateralized or tokenized if needed. But at the end of the day, what you're really doing is turning the city structure into a lower burden structure where the money doesn't have to work so hard and you don't have to work so hard to keep it. And then basically you're using the reward structures to pay off everything that needs to happen. So instead of having a bunch of city employees, you aren't necessarily doing anything different with the workforce. They just end up being more productive. Okay. They can be like, there's less waste in the system.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine that.
We have a problem with waste in the system right now.
hey, just another couple questions here, see if we can get them in. Going towards world politics, you know, with what's going on in Kazakhstan right now, you know, they produce about 18%. That's where about 18% of the Bitcoin's miners are operating, is in the country of Kazakhstan. And what significance, in your opinion, does the unrest in Kazakhstan have on the worldwide production of Bitcoin? Is this a bigger story than what the mainstream media is reporting?
Okay. So we'll take it a step back. Let's start with what effect does it have on Bitcoin, in the production of Bitcoin? Zero. All it does is means that we have less hash power, less miners online confirming transactions, but those still occurred because there was still plenty of miners left, which meant they were more profitable for a little bit of time. That's kind of cool. Yes, Kazakhstan's internet shuttage, you know, everything that they did over there, that did impact the miners being online. And a lot of these miners came from China after the ban, so they do have a significant amount of miners there. At the end of the day, I'm still not concerned because every 10 minutes, a new block is confirmed and a new Bitcoin is released to a miner.
Right.
The production doesn't change. Not even if they shut down all of China and everyone in the U.S. shuts down too, the blockchain will go on. The blockchain will continue and Bitcoin will be delivered to the winner of that block.
Just so long as one node is going, there will always be one block every 10 minutes, correct?
Always, yeah. That's the way it works. The only thing happens is, you know, difficulty adjusts based on hash rate every 2 weeks. But at the end of the day, if you lose a bunch of miners and there's less people mining, then the difficulty has to decrease so that the block can continue being produced every 10 minutes.
In the bigger scheme of things, they'll just go find another country that they'll be able to move the mining rigs to.
I've got miners in 7 different countries, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would imagine there's a lot of them all over the place that can be moved.
We've got time for maybe one or two more questions.
I was going to ask how he felt about what happened in El Salvador.
That's where I was going to.
With Bitcoin being approved as the legal tender down there in El Salvador. What's your feeling about that?
Again, it kind of brings me back to the same comment I said about your city. They can either get with the program and they can be one of the first and reap the rewards of it, similar to El Salvador, or they can wait and join later, like you're seeing a lot of other countries do now. Now, every other country that comes along is not that big of a deal because it's already been done.
Right.
So El Salvador is awesome in the fact that President Bukele was awesome. You know, he saw the advantages and went forward and took his country forward. And in return, you have a lot of people who want to come over with a few $100,000 because that's all it takes to become a citizen there is a couple of Bitcoin.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So and then you have citizenship. It's a beautiful country.
Yes.
And it's not like they're the place that we grew up thinking they were. Now we have the internet and we know what it really looks like over there. We have people on social media posting from El Salvador. You have people like Bitcoin Ben and myself who've been there and know what's going on the ground and have met the people. I'd have no problem living there. It's a great place.
That's what we're hearing, and they're doing incredible work. They have great plans. Just hearing about that huge state-of-the-art veterinary hospital next to the governmental palace, that was incredible, and it's just on the returns from the Bitcoin production. And so,
well, it's not just from that. It's because they actually understand that if you value people's assets better, they will come to you. That's why everyone's going international with their financial structures.
Yes.
It's because they know that their money is treated better elsewhere.
Right. And that's something we don't hear about in the mainstream media. You know, that information isn't getting out, and that's what we're trying to do and you're trying to do, I assume, with what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd say that's correct.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry, but they're going to cut us off, Patrick. We want to thank you for coming on and sharing all this information and being a part of our radio show and helping us out. And
how do we get a hold of you, Patrick?
Yeah.
If anybody has any questions, they like to get a hold of you. If they can't reach Bitcoin 530.
Also, we are starting a new group called CryptoConfidential.com. You'll be able to get a hold of myself and Litecoin Leader there as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, we want to thank you again, and we will be talking to you soon and seeing you before too much longer.
Thank you very much.
All right. You have a wonderful day.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.